When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
All right, Nebraska baseball coming down to the last couple of weekends. Last midweek game tomorrow night at Haymarket Park against South Dakota State, and then a huge Big Ten weekend coming up against Indiana. We welcome in Ben Columbus, who has hit his way into the lineup and joins us now on Mornings with Sharp and Hanley. Good morning, Ben. Thanks for your time.
Good morning, guys. Thank you for having me.
Canucks Oilers, how many games will the Canucks win in?
I got Canucks in five. I'm going to give the Oilers at least one game.
Nice.
One game to scratch, but I'm going to give them five.
Last time you put on skates, and for people that don't know, Ben is from North Vancouver in British Columbia. Last time you put on skates?
Oh, gosh. Probably when I was 13, when I just moved up from Phoenix.
Okay.
First time trying, didn't go very well. I think I fell maybe six times.
Ooh, see, that's the worst, especially when you're that tall. Because I'm assuming you were probably of decent height at that age, too. It makes the fall that much tougher, right?
Yeah, no, it definitely doesn't feel good falling on that ice, that's for sure.
All right, so last week you got to be on the receiving end of history, and it's always great to talk to someone who pitched a no-hitter and the rarity of that, but I think catching the no-hitter, being able to, using the technology to call pitches, I know that that's obviously, it's changed from so many years ago, but my question for you is, with what Jackson was doing last week, at what point as a catcher did you think something's up here? This is a little different than the typical midweek or even weekend pitching performance that I've seen.
Yeah, I think when he was perfect through four and a third or almost five or whatever it ended up being, I think that was when I finally realized that this outing could be something, something special.
Did you have much interaction with him, like in the dugout, while this was going on?
I tried to let him do his own thing. I didn't really want to disrupt a routine or distract him too much. But he's not one of the dudes who sits in the dugout and just kind of sits on the bench and just thinks about everything. He's wandering around. He's talking to everybody.
Yeah.
So. He likes to stay loose, and I guess it worked out for him pretty well.
Well, as a team, are you guys trying to respect, hey, if he wants to be by himself, we've all seen the images of you have the one side of the dugout just jam-packed with a bunch of guys, and then the other side is just one guy sitting by himself. Does it get to a point where you guys are trying to avoid him, but he's like, no, come on, let's keep talking here?
Yeah, no, it definitely got to a point later on where we're like, we didn't want to accidentally bring it up, we didn't want to actually say the wrong thing, but no, he kept wandering around. He kept talking to everybody, trying to stay loose, and it worked.
Ben Columbus, Nebraska's starting catcher, joining us here on Mornings with Sharp and Hanley. You've caught Jackson before. Hasn't pitched a lot this year. Hasn't even made some conference road trips. What was different about him last week that maybe you think could be a nice little arm to use as we go down the stretch and then into the Big Ten tournament and the NCAA tournament?
I just think if he keeps that same intensity that he went out with, every time he went out to the mound, you can tell he wasn't going to let up any damage. He was ready to go, put up a zero. So I think if he brings that out every single day, then he's going to have some good success here towards the end of the season.
Is there, and you see this in every outing when it comes to handling the staff, that Gary and I talk about this a lot, being familiar with a lot of the different trends in baseball too, and you see it as a catcher, the art of being able to work ahead of a hitter has been more challenging lately, and I think people have different theories on why, but when you, especially with how good, especially Sears has been on Friday, when you see somebody that is establishing the count leverage early on, is that typically, from your standpoint, and having the best angle and the best view, does that give you the confidence, okay, we're probably going to see a good outing, this is where we want to be?
No, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. If you see someone start to fall behind in a count, then you know he might leave a pitch over the middle that he can hammer for a homer for a couple runs. But if he keeps getting ahead in the count, then suffocating the strike zone, then the hitter has no chance, and it's going to be a good outing.
Ben Columbus, who had a great week last week at the plate and has hit his way into the lineup and a mainstay of this starting nine. Let's talk about how's your relationship? You know, in college baseball, you know that some coaches, head coaches and pitching coaches are control freaks, and they don't let catchers do much in terms of getting to know their pitcher and calling pitches. How does the relationship work with you as a catcher with your staff and then Rob Childress in his role as the pitching coach?
Everyone has a great relationship because Coach Childress is very open to talking about pitches, what he wants to throw in this count and that kind of stuff. And he's very open to advice, I guess is a good way to put it. If the pitcher feels like he wants something, then he's going to go with it, you know. But most of the time we put our trust in Coach Childress because he knows exactly what he's talking about. He's done this for plenty of years. But yeah, he's very open to working with us for sure.
And you kind of had a unique experience with Jeff Christie, the previous pitching coach, too, because his success as a catcher, but then had made that transition more on the pitching side of it as well. And this isn't to say who does what better, but when you think of the different teaching styles between what you experienced under Jeff Christie and what you've noticed with Rob Childress, what have you noticed the way that he handles the pitching staff compared to what you saw with Coach Christie?
Even last year, Coach Childress was pretty involved
right.
with the pitching staff, even though he wasn't the pitching coach for the team. But it's not a whole lot different this year. They both care a lot about the staff and their success, and they want each and every guy to do well. And he obviously trusts every single guy he puts out there, or else he's not going to put him out there. But
right. But
yeah.
What's the difference between Brett Sears last year that you got familiar with and the Brett Sears that you're catching every Friday night?
Oh, gosh. Brett Sears is a, I don't even know what to put it. He's just a dog this year. He's just different. I don't know. He's got that mentality that he's going to completely just dominate every single team. That's all he needs.
Well, and as a catcher, again, this goes back to the relationship of you play enough games, not everybody's going to have their best stuff. And whether we're talking about Sears or Walsh or McConaughey or, I mean, even Jackson getting back into things, your role and your overall comfortability of being able to, when you get into the dugout or when you get out on a mound visit, just to get them to refocus, is that an area that you feel, you know, as now a veteran of this club and handling that staff, kind of being an extension, if you will, of Rob Childress, that you have that relationship with all of these guys, that there is that ability, even if you have to be a little bit harsh, a little bit critical, that's well received?
Yeah, no, absolutely, because we all have this trust with one another, with the staff, me and Josh built that level of trust throughout the fall. So they know what we're talking about. They trust us and what we're talking about. And if we have to be a little harsh, they're going to take it the right way. They're not going to, you know, think it's us coming at them for doing something bad. We're just trying to help them and trying to get them through the outing.
Hey, there's another part of what you do, and that is with a bat in your hand. And as I mentioned, you had a really good week last week. And you have solidified yourself in the lineup. What's the difference this year, as the season has gone along, of your comfort level at the plate?
I think it's mainly just, like you said, just getting more comfortable in there. Just actually swinging the pitches I can hit and not being too selective. Because I think last year I got quite a bit selective and then didn't swing at my pitches and then didn't work out too well. But now that I'm swinging with some intent, I think doing some damage, working out pretty well.
You know, and with that evolution and I'm sure experience and just of seeing more Big Ten pitching and seeing the level that you guys have helps, but also you get another addition to the coaching staff in Mike Sirianni. What is his role and what has his addition been like for this team and the success you guys have had?
Oh, yeah, he's been great. We all love him. He's definitely for us is probably a good way to put it. He loves helping us one-on-one. He'll do whatever it takes to make our swing feel good, no matter what time of day it is.
Hey, you know, you guys look at the RPI, you know the standings, you still have a lot in front of you to accomplish your goals, but you probably get this question a lot, not just from media, but from other people. What's the difference between this team in the midweek compared to the weekend?
With this year or just...
No, well, yeah, let's just focus on, look at, focus on this year, because this year you're racking up weekend series wins in the Big Ten.
Yes. Well, I think mainly it just starts with a good start on the mound. I think that's definitely a key, because you never want to chase runs in the first, second inning, no matter if it's a weekday or a weekend game. So I think if we get a good start on the mound, then I think our bats are going to come alive, just like we showed at K-State. And then I think if we just keep fighting, keep showing the resilience that we have, because this is a good group of guys that we have this year. So I think if we just, you know, just keep fighting, we'll go pretty far.
Has that been the key of what you just said there at the end? It's a resilient group that has allowed you guys to flush out some, especially the early midweek struggles. That has allowed you guys to still remain focused on what you've been able to do on the weekends. Because I think when you're dealing in collegiate sports, it's easy to let that maybe frustration seep into the weekend, especially on Fridays when you're trying to set the tone. You guys really haven't done that. Is it resiliency? Is that what you kind of look at with this team?
Yeah, absolutely. This is absolutely one of the toughest teams in the country for sure. But I think we've built that level of resilient that we can just, once we get punched in the jaw, we can punch right back and just let it roll off our back and not let it carry over into a big series weekend.
Now, speaking of a big series, and Gary mentioned it too, you got a huge one, not only tomorrow, but you know, this weekend Indiana comes to town. It's the regular season, the home finale for the regular season, and then you go to Michigan State the following week. You know it's at the line on the standings, but also there are going to be guys that are playing their last games at Haymarket Park this weekend as well. You also understand that as a team, you guys are trying to look the part as you get closer to the NCAA tournament and in Omaha for the Big Ten tournament as well. Just the overall atmosphere, you've experienced it now for 2 years. For a game and a weekend series like this, what is that anticipation like going into it, knowing how the Husker crowd will show up and just what is on the line?
Yeah, I bet this weekend Haymarket Park is going to be popping a little bit with the stand-ins going on, with the team coming in, with senior weekend going on this weekend. So I think the crowd will bring some juice this weekend. I think it's going to be a great weekend for us.
You guys feel that, right?
Absolutely, yeah. This place isn't like no other.
Okay, we'll get you out here on this. Ben Columbus from the Nebraska baseball team joining us. And, you know, we can look at your home run on that 93-mile-an-hour fastball last week against K-State that you turned on and pummeled into the right field stands. And we can say, oh, that's because of your mechanics. But let's be honest, Ben. How much of your success this season and really in your baseball career is due to your mustache?
I'm gonna go about 95% of it for the
yes! All right, yeah. Yes! Bring the mustache back. It's looking good. Looking good.
All right. So what goes into it? Because you got one of the best mustaches in all of baseball. I mean, this is your look. I mean, what? How do we prepare the mustache? What's the next phase of this? Would you rather just go, because you have been bearded guy with the mustache? I mean, are we just going to strictly stay with the mustache?
We're all going to strictly stick with the mustache. Yeah, my girlfriend doesn't really like it. So
now
we're going to stick with the mustache.
Now this is a team that's got some great facial hair as well.
No doubt. Yeah, Trey Fromm's got a heck of a mustache on him. Brockett can grow a good one.
Yeah, Brockett had the curls, right?
He's got the little curls coming out. Yeah, his is a good one.
Have you thought about doing that, or do you just like the more Magnum PI look?
I just like the Magnum PI look. Okay. I've thought about it, though. I have thought about it. I'm not going to lie to you. It has crossed my mind before.
Hey, congratulations on the season so far. I know that you guys want to be playing for the next month plus. Good luck tomorrow night, and good luck on the weekend. And good stuff, by the way, across the baseball program with Jackson meeting the other individual, Mr. Greer, who threw the no-hitter 70 years ago. That was a great video put out by Nebraska baseball social media yesterday.
Yeah, thank you very much. I appreciate it.
That's Ben Columbus, the pride of North Vancouver, British Columbia, Canadians in college baseball.
That's right.
And he had a good week last week. That's a position you haven't had to worry about.
Nope.
It can be a really good position if you have a great relationship with Rob Childress. I mean, we talk about the pitchers that Rob Childress has produced since he's been at Nebraska, you know, his first time and now in his second time. Look at the catchers.
Yeah.
I mean, the Jed Morrises of the year, the season, and the career that Jed had, John Gross.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's always had some really good catchers. So I think not only does Childress help pitchers, but he also helps catchers in terms of receiving. And Ben, who has always been a good receiver, is now more of a pop at the plate. And he's an important part of that lineup.
They've got depth there, too. We know Max Budenbach is a freshman also in that position. You got Josh Caron, who has been swinging it really well. He can fall into that position. I go back to even Jesse Wilkening when they had him not that long ago, another offensive-minded catcher where great defensively. And you know, first and foremost, you always want that reliable backstop. But when you can bring a little pop, you start seeing those guys creep up into the top six of the lineup. That's typically a good sign that you're getting the most out of that position. And between Columbus and Josh Caron, what they bring and what I think Max projects to be as well, that is a position offensively and defensively that you should feel good for several years there.
So I know that Twitter can be a hellscape, but I have to say that I kind of it warmed the cockles yesterday. Yeah. So, you know, a week ago tomorrow, Jackson Brockett threw the no-hitter. Mm-hmm. Single nine-inning no-hitter, and it's the first time that Nebraska had thrown one of those since 1954.
Yep.
I didn't know that Richard Gere was still alive.
I didn't either.
But Nebraska baseball, which I give credit to them, and we've both been involved in, they do stay close to their alums.
Mm-hmm.
And I met, he must live in Lincoln.
Yes.
So they put out a video where Jackson Brockett went to meet the last person to throw a nine-inning no-hitter.
Yep. And remember, as you mentioned, Richard, is it Geyer or Gere? Because, of course, we all know another Richard Gere. He threw that in 1954 at 19 years old. And to be able to sit down, both lefties, by the way, as well, being able to sit down and talk about it. I know Richard was showing him some of the...
So he must have a scrapbook.
Yeah, had the scrapbook of it and being able to show him that. And knowing that, I'm just imagining this for Jackson Brockett. You're sitting across from a much older gentleman than you are, realizing, you're hearing everybody talk about, the last one that was thrown was in 1954. You're meeting that person, and you're like, damn, that rare fraternity that you're in. Because I would venture to guess that Jackson Brockett, as dominant as he was, both in the Metro, then in Buford, Georgia, when he threw, that you at least had one or two between summer ball and spring ball, or it flirted with enough to have one at the collegiate level to see how rare that is, especially with the baseball program that has had some very good arms, to be able to interact with the most recent one and looking at how much older that gentleman is at VU, I assume that's probably where it really hit home. And he's looking at these old newspaper clippings and these old everything from his scrapbook of that. What a cool moment. What an absolute cool moment to share that rarity right there.
By the way, got a text about Nebraska baseball yesterday and hosting.
Again? Okay, what was the text? Still in play?
Still in play.
Still in play.
Might give a Midwestern team a benefit of the doubt.
Mm.
RPI is 21. I haven't looked this morning.
Yeah, I believe it's still 21.
Man, I think it's 0%. But I was told, hey, benefit of the doubt, might happen. Got to win the Big Ten. Our discussion yesterday about Creighton. So I asked, what does the Creighton baseball fan want?
Mm-hmm.
And really, really good email from Jeff, who said, I have been following Creighton baseball for a long time. I am a season ticket holder. I used to, in the Missouri Valley Conference, make a road trip a year. But now that they're in the Big East, unless they're playing at Ohio, I am not able to make road trips, but I make every game. If I don't, I listen to you guys on the radio. Thank you very much for all of that. But he said, I'm torn because I absolutely love the guy that's running the program, but we need to have more success. He goes, I can't wrap my arms around this fact that in the last 23 games in the Big East, Creighton is 5-18.
Exactly. And the whole feeling of conflict or being torn, I think, is probably... very common. I know when we were talking about it yesterday, I feel that. I've had a long relationship with Ed Service. I think he's one of the true great baseball men in the business, especially in this state. And yet you wonder if that will benefit Creighton going forward, of just having a change of leadership, having a new direction while you're in this conference, while you're going to transition into a new on-campus stadium here in the near future, all of these things that you have for it. Does that also need to usher in a new vision? And I to be honest with you, I'd wonder what Ed would think about it, because I've had conversations with him throughout the year before games where you can tell there's just, as confused as we all are with this team, he's right up there of not being able to understand why what they've accomplished in the midweek and to have 30-plus wins cannot translate into weekend success in a conference that you should just flat out be better than you are.
5-18 in the last 23.
Yeah. That is, it's unfathomable.
Because last year the ending wasn't great at all.
No.
There were some sweeps in there.
Mm-hmm. It was a tailspin at the end.
Thank you, Jeff, for that email. I think you are not alone. A lot of people are torn on where they want to go. One thing he did point out in another paragraph is, I'd like to see the program have more funding, and then what could we do? I think that's fair. Yeah. I think the guy that's probably running the show is asking the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
Ben Columbus interview will be up on the radio replay page. Share it with your friends. Share it with your Canadians.
We all know a Canadian, right?
I don't know. This might be Connor McJesus' time. I don't know the Canucks in five. That seemed like a homer pick.
what a homer.
Brian Christopherson will join us after the top of the hour on 1620 The Zone.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.